Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And, of course, I hope that you're all starting your day in a positive way. And, of course, we've got another beautiful weekend, and we've just got to get some sun, but I'm sure it's going to come out today. With that, I just want to say I hope that you all had fun at the Strawberry Festival. That was the last event that we were all at. And, of course, I want to remind you of the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival. That is happening next week, and that is June 3rd and Saturday. I would love to give some tickets away, and we've been doing that this whole last month, but we are down to the wire, and they are getting full. And call in right now at 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. I love to just mention that you can download our podcast. Follow us all the way through social so that we can start your day every day in a positive way. And, of course, I always start my show with something uplifting. And the way to get started is to quit talking about it. Just begin doing. Today is a great day to have a great day. And I want you to choose today. So if you have been moping around or maybe just not looking at all the stuff that we have to be grateful for, I love it for you to start your day in a positive way. All right. Again, our phone number here is 419-0008. If there is a business that you have or a story that you want to share, or you're just in our community or in our, you know, anywhere around, because we are nationwide, we can stream us at kvta.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please reach out and also, you can text me at that number. Again, 805-419-0008. We have a great show for you today. And, of course, my first guest is Dr. Bob Uslander. And we're going to be talking about the end-of-life planning and why planning ahead makes sense and how empowered endings help draft your final chapter. Of course, joining me, Dr. Bob Uslander. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Kim. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And so a little bit kind of about your company. Of course, you're the co-founder, medical director, and end-of-life expert. Wow. How did you get into this? And, you know, I mean, it's so weird. When I was younger, I want to say, never even thought about the end result, you know, but it is something that you have to consider, that nearly half of older adults die with from dementia, right? Or you realize that there is a need to plan before mental abilities or cognition decline. And so never thought of that before, but I guess we kind of need to look at that. And so thank you for being here.
Well, you're welcome. So, and I'm glad that you never really had to think about it, because that means that you haven't been faced with a situation that that kind of required that kind of preparation, which you're fortunate for.
I mean, 7 years ago, I lost my mom to a heart attack unexpectedly. I have a girlfriend right now that her father is on morphine, and, you know, so she's going, I don't know which is worse, the shock or the waiting, you know, and it's just a part of life, right? So, I'm really interested in what your thoughts are as being an end of life expert.
Yeah. Well, So which is worse? That's something that we all kind of explored sometime, or many of us anyway. Would it be better to just go out quickly and have everybody be surprised, or to have the time expectations and put the right things in place. And I don't know. Everyone
right.
has a different take on it. And in some ways, it kind of doesn't matter. We don't get to choose.
Right. This is true. We don't get to take anything with us. And the people that are left behind are probably the ones that are, you know, hurting, right?
Right. And so, well, that's where the impact is mostly felt, is the people who are left behind. So the way I look at it, and one of the things that we try to do with Empowered Endings is if you plan ahead, if you have the conversations about what you would want or wouldn't want, to understand what the possible paths that you might be going down with respect to your end of life. If you put all the things in place and have the right conversation so your loved ones or your healthcare agent knows what you would want if you can't speak for yourself, mm-hmm. and kind of do all the preparation work, then everything's set up.
Right.
And if you die
kind
suddenly
of like,
tomorrow,
yeah, you're prepared.
You know, you're prepared, and people are prepared, and they'll be sad, but they won't be devastated and sort of in shock and not knowing what to do to honor you and to make sure that your wishes were carried out. And if it turns out that you don't like die for another 30 or 40 years, well, great. And that's all bonus time, right?
So, right, exactly.
But what we try to do with Empowered Endings, we're really trying to help prevent the trauma and the sort of guilt and regret in the loved ones who are left behind when somebody dies.
So what is that? What does that
look like?
Yeah.
Well, we make sure that everybody when most of the people who come to us are facing some sort of health challenge. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just getting older and want to make sure that they have things in place. A lot of people come to us because they've been diagnosed with a terminal illness and they're now kind of moving down that particular path, and they don't want to accept the default end of life journey. Sometimes they've seen others who have gone that route and it didn't go well, and they were traumatized by it. Sometimes they're just people who have lived life on their own terms and want to die on their own terms, and they don't want to just take a chance that the system will show up optimally for them or adequately.
Got it. And why did you create this?
Because no one else did.
I like it.
Yeah. So the way it happened is my wife Elizabeth is my partner in the practice and in the entire company that we've created, which has a number of different facets. Empowered Endings is a medical practice to help provide care and counseling for patients and families dealing with challenging illnesses and terminal illnesses. And we have a foundation, the Empowered Endings Foundation, which is a nonprofit that helps to provide some financial support and additional resources to make sure that people have access to some of the support that they need, regardless of their ability to pay. And then we have an institute, the Empowered Endings Institute, which is designed to provide training, education, certification for people in healthcare to train end-of-life doulas who are becoming increasingly important in the end-of-life journey. And then all three of these entities work together to further the mission of improving end-of-life care for everybody. We are trying to help everyone understand that it's possible for people to die peacefully with dignity and not after a long, arduous struggle. And the way to do that is to recognize that it's not being done adequately by the healthcare system, and that we need to make changes and actually focus on creating an entire specialty of end-of-life care. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, that sounds as positive as it can be. So can you offer guidance on, like, broaching some difficult, kind of talking to your parents about that or talking,
It starts as much as possible. We're trying to start things upstream and help encourage people to have conversations about what they would want or wouldn't want so that everybody knows and everybody's on the same page. And that, you know, we're talking about how much futile treatment you might want if you're dealing with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, because the healthcare system will likely try to push people towards doing more treatment, because that's what the healthcare system is designed to do. Mm-hmm. When people have dementia, unless somebody kind of steps in and helps guide patients, you know, guide families towards what's possible and what they don't have to do, the system is not going to tell them. The system will keep treating people and keep housing them. And, you know, and I'm not saying this in a way that everyone, there's no bad intention. I mean, maybe there is some, but I have such gratitude and awe for people who are in healthcare and the things they do, hospice and neurosurgeons and oncologists.
100%. Absolutely. I think they're angels. And, you know,
sure.
there's people that can do that, and there's people that that's not their thing, and, you know, you respect it. So, yeah, there's some beautiful people out there that are making a difference in the end of life. Now, what is the end of life doula and grief counseling? Talk to us about that.
Well, I'm glad you asked. The reason we created Empowered Endings is because we kept taking care of people through their end of life journeys, and it kept going well. They kept having very peaceful end of life experiences. The families were typically held and supported, and afterward commented on how well it went compared to some other experiences they've had. So we kept looking at what we were doing, what was different about what we were doing than what was kind of available in the standard healthcare experience. And the things that we identified were, number one, doctors are not typically present or participating in the care of patients and are not engaged with families in the final stage of life. Most of the time when people go on hospice, they will never see a doctor, because doctors in most situations don't actually do patient care for hospice patients.
There's a few exceptions,
but the majority of hospice care is delivered by nurses and social workers and aides, and people often get good care, but there's no doctors involved, and that's a real, it's a real shortfall, because people
got
want
it.
Doctors engaged.
So the doula,
I want to answer the doula question, because the other thing that we recognize is as people are navigating this end-of-life journey, they typically don't have somebody who's there with them, walking them down the path, holding their hand, available whenever something comes up for them to address, a concern about the way the pain is being managed, or the way the resources that are available to help support them. There's a number of things that come up, and having the end of life doula are similar to end of life to birth doulas in that they're companions through the journey, and they kind of demedicalize the process a bit and provide this really beautiful support. So there's organizations that are now training people to become end-of-life doulas, and we're working with doulas to really bring them into the in partnership with doctors to provide a really substantial network of support for the patients and families.
Wow. Well, you could tell you're really passionate about this, and you're making a difference in so many, not only people's lives, but family lives. So let me ask you, first of all, tell us about your licensing model, and let's share that with everyone.
So the licensing model is just sort of in its infancy. The Empowered Endings Medical Group is a model care. It's a private practice. We don't work with the insurance model. We don't bill insurance. We work directly with patients and families, but we work on a sliding scale. So people who can't afford the care can pay whatever they can. And so it works out that we can care for pretty much anybody through this model to a certain degree. We can't do everything for everyone.
Right.
But the model that we have is such a beautiful model, and we've had such success in caring for patients and bringing additional team members on board that we believe our model needs to be spread and shared, and that there needs to be empowered endings practices in other communities so that end-of-life care can be delivered at a higher level in those communities. So we're looking for doulas and physicians in different communities that we can help bring our system. We're systematizing our model, and we're branding, and we're doing all the things to make sure that there's that we can help somebody create their own practice and deliver the same kind of care without having to go through all of the years and years of development and you know, fits and starts that we've done, because we'd like to have people kind of hit the ground running and being able to deliver this care wherever they are.
Well, that's beautiful. And of course, for anybody that's just tuning in with us, we're talking with Dr. Bob Uslander, and we're talking about end of life, planning it, really empowering it so that, you know, that it's the way you want it, first of all, and that your family isn't left high and dry, right? And now, so what is next for you?
So Elizabeth and I are writing a book, and so we're right in the process of that. We have an agent and a publisher who's expressed an interest. Mm-hmm. The title of the book is Permission to Choose, mm-hmm. and it's about the model that we've created, what we've learned over the years in providing care within the system and outside of the system. Elizabeth is a social worker and a spiritual counselor who mm-hmm. was very involved in end-of-life care through hospice. So, and then when we met and came together, she joined the practice and has really developed the entire, helped to build the practice, but also brought this spiritual aspect to it.
I love
everything that we do.
You guys seem like a power team, and that's always amazing. So, okay, Dr. Bob, how do my listeners find out more about it? We'll definitely have to have you back because, you know, I don't want to say a bad situation, because that's just the way life is, right? That's how it ends, right? But empowered it. And I love your name, Empowered Endings, first of all. But how do my listeners find out more?
Well, our website is empoweredendings.com. And that's also kind of been one of the next things that's happening. And the new beautiful website is just about ready to be launched.
Which we're excited
about.
That
would be the best way. And we take care of people and communicate with people all over California. I've had patients in Ventura. We're based in San Diego, but we can connect with people wherever they are. And we're trying to help.
I could tell. Yeah. And I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. And I look forward to talking with you again. Please share our show with everyone.
Okay, Kim. Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
You got it. All right. Take care. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And if you like country western and you want to attend the concert that's happening next weekend, Wild Oaks Country Music Festival, call in right now, 805-419-0008, or you can text that number, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots.
Come to the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival June 3rd, Thousand Oaks, to celebrate great music with family and friends. Top country entertainers Craig Morgan, Chase Beckham, and Cam will be there, along with lots of tasty food and beverages and over 75 vendors. Plus, sample hot sauces from around the world. Festival proceeds help military veterans and local first responders. See you June 3rd at the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival in Thousand Oaks. Buy your tickets at wildoakscmf.com.
Are you looking for a way to support cancer patients and survivors in your community? Cancer Support Community, Valley Ventura, Santa Barbara invites you to join their 5th annual Hope Walk on June 10th at Cal Lutheran University. Pre-registration is now open. You can register, join a team, and donate. This event is a great opportunity to honor cancer survivors, remember those lost to cancer, and come together as a community to support those affected by cancer. For more, visit cancersupportbvsb.org or call 805-379-4777. That's 805-379-4777. Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
The Kim Pagano Show is proud to partner with the eWomen Network as they continue to help millions of women entrepreneurs achieve their goal of $1 million in annual revenue. The eWomen Network accelerated events take place the first Wednesday of each month at the beautiful Los Robles Greens in Thousand Oaks. The event will include lunch with wonderful speakers talking about relevant topics for your business and many opportunities to network with potential clients and make connections. Come join the fun and elevate your business. The eWomen Network only requires one lifetime member fee and a monthly fee to stay active on their website. Come find out how the eWomen Network is different than the other networking groups. Apply now on their website at
eWomenNetwork/chapters/Calabasas-665. That's eWomenNetwork/chapters/Calabasas-665.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show, finally on KVTA.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And, of course, we're going to be talking about saving our water. And I know that we had an incredible amount of rain and snow this winter, but we still face hotter, drier future. And so today, joining us is design principal and landscape architect Kate Hayes of Sacramento based, and also Dr. June Bando. She's the executive director of California Native Plant Society. And we're going to talk about really how we can transition our yards from water thirsty lawns to low water California native plants. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, so before we dive in, let's talk about, you know, it's funny, native plant. We bought a place in Arizona, and I didn't used to like native plants, and now I'm like, they're so cool. I mean, like, I come back, and they're still, like, they look exactly the same, and it's been dry and, you know, warm weather. So how is gardening with native plants and other water-wise plants help save our water?
Well, first, let me say a little bit about what makes a plant a California native plant. A native plant is simply a plant that is originally from California, so it's evolved with our landscape over time and is uniquely suited to our climate, which is why you see these plants doing well in conditions just as you described.
Yeah, I love that. And I, you know what, I always see the brighter side in things. There's like, you know, I love my roses, but you actually have like cute little flowers in the native plants that you could see. So there is some, you know, some beauty to it in a different way.
Absolutely. Native plants can be green, they can be colorful, they can be lush and textured. So they add a lot of sort of dynamism to your garden.
Right, right. And I know that a lot of people think of cactus and rocks, but the gardens that you're standing in look gorgeous, right? And so talk to us about that. How does somebody make that transition from traditional lawn to some more like garden that you're pertaining to?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big question we get a lot. My first recommendation is to start small. Don't take on too much. You'll be overwhelmed. You know, pick your favorite sunny patch in the garden, or maybe identify your entry or a path you walk on a daily basis to your car, and just start there and start experimenting. You know, we recommend visiting the website bloomcalifornia.org, where you can find a free list of native plant species, as well as simple design recommendations to start with. They will even give you the quantities of plants you need for a certain size area. We also encourage folks to go to calscape.org, where you can literally type in your address, your home address, and it will give you a list of plants that are specific to your region.
Oh, I love that. And, of course, your website is saveourwater.com, correct?
Correct, saveourwater.com. And that website expands beyond landscaping to give water conservation recommendations for the entire home.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's a little misleading in the sense that we had probably the most rain we've ever had, right? I mean, at least it was like rain after rain after rain. But it really, I mean, even though it really helped, it didn't take us out of that drought, did it?
No, definitely not. We are still in the drought. It's replenished some of our reservoirs, but we're still below normal levels. And so it's still important to plant your gardens with native plants. Absolutely. Okay. So that's why Save Our Water is trying to make water conservation a part of daily life here in California. That's why we're here talking about these incredible plants and how putting them into your gardens can help.
So
I'll just share that depending on the size of your yard, replacing your lawn with a water-resilient native plant garden can save between 30 and 100 gallons every time you water. So
Wow. That's
a huge savings. A native plant garden gives back by saving you time and money. And, of course, for those of us who care about birds, butterflies, and other pollinators, your native plant garden can be a lifeline. These creatures are in serious decline here in California and across the nation. And the more native plant habitat we can provide, the better their chances of survival.
I love that. And do you have any budget-friendly options or ideas for people who just want to start small? Like you said, like pick a little section of your, you know, landscaping, correct? And start to do it that way.
Yes, absolutely. Start with your water bill. Find your local water agency, because many of these water agencies offer very generous rebate programs that span from, you know, an entire yard overhaul to a specific irrigation device that specifies low water landscapes. So we recommend starting there. Some of these water rebate programs even offer landscape design assistance programs, which means they'll help offset the cost of bringing a professional out to your yard.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. And what is the best time to plant California natives, and where are they in bloom? In full bloom? I mean, when are they in full bloom? Yeah, please.
I can take that. That's a great question. The best time to plant is late fall or early winter, so you can get your plants in the ground and give them a head start. Then don't overwater. Watering about once a week, unless it's raining, will help them get established.
Okay. And how about replacing our lawns with, you know, there's so many beautiful lawns now that are, you know, fake, but they look so real. So what's your thought on that?
I can take that one. So
okay.
I talked a little bit earlier about the importance of our native plant gardens for pollinators and other wildlife. And so a native plant garden, again, can be a lifeline for these creatures who are experiencing declines across California, you mentioned Arizona, and across the nation.
That's great. And, of course, we're talking with Kate Hayes. I'm sorry because we have two little voices there, and I want to make sure that we get both of you in. And, of course, Dr. June Bando, how did you both get involved in being so passionate about planting?
That's a fun question.
Thank you.
I'm Kate. I'm a landscape architect, and I'm just very passionate about the outdoors. I mean, you're outside. There's nothing like getting your hands in the dirt, walking around, being close to plants. It really gives you a sense of place, right? You
and
know
it
where you are.
You.
It
right?
grounds you, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And how about you, Dr. June Bando?
Yes. So I am a scientist by training, mm-hmm. but I'm also very interested in connecting people with nature. And so working in the space with California native plants is a way to protect biodiversity. It's a way to be part of the solution to building a more resilient climate. And it's a way to help reconnect people with nature. So it's a really wonderful space to be working in.
I love it. And, you know, I just feel like it's just such a connection. Once you have that love for the outdoors and everything that it brings to our environment, it's so important. And if we all can do a little bit just to help our environment, that's what it's all about. So I so appreciate both of you coming on to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, because it truly is the brighter side. How can my listeners find out more about all of the information that we spoke about?
Absolutely. We mentioned bloomcalifornia.org and calscape.org, but also saveourwater.com, which, again, mm-hmm. is about the landscape and saving water in our landscape, but also more generally about your home.
There you go. And there's different offers, right, that can really help our bills and to take back some money that we've already spent, correct?
Yes. Visit your local water agency.
There you go. Thank you, ladies, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, you too. Thanks so much for having us.
You got it. Take care. Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, that was some really good stuff and some things that we learned there. And let's bring our next guest on.
Welcome, Stephen. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, joining me is Stephen Reichlin. And, of course, he is going to be talking about barbecue and, of course, one of my favorite things. And, of course, his newest book, The Barbecue Bible, more than 500 great grilling recipes from around the world. I love that. Talk to us a little bit about who you are, and then I'm going to just pick your brain on all these great recipes, because we are moving into that time of the year, and that's actually, we do it all the time, but I love barbecuing.
Well, I live in Miami, you live in L.A., so we are lucky enough to live in a full-time barbecue environment. At any rate, who I am, I'm the author of the Barbecue Bible Cookbook Series, which actually embraces about 12 different books. Barbecue Bible was my first. It came out 25 years ago, so this is the 25th anniversary celebration. We have updated the book regularly. Thank you. Thank
wow.
you.
Wow. And you know what's so funny? I'm looking at some of your books here, and it says how to grill vegetables. I had a little dinner party, and somebody said, "What can I bring?" And I said, "Grilled vegetables." She's like, "I don't know how to do that." She's a baker, right? I'm like, "I'm getting her this book, how to grill
nope.
vegetables." Like, who doesn't know how to grill vegetables, right? But I guess there is a little science to it. So I'm excited to talk with you.
Yeah, you know, you can always, I mean, there's always room to learn learn technique from everybody. But vegetables, a big, you know, it's a big part of my world. My wife is a vegetarian. My daughter's a vegetarian.
Me too. So I'm like, yeah, I barely eat. I eat a little bit of fish and a little bit of chicken, not even barely any of that anymore. But vegetables, oh, my gosh, a little olive oil, a little kosher salt, golden, correct?
Absolutely. So, but to go back to kind of who I am and what I've tried to do with Barbecue Bible, so if you stop and think about it, grilling is the world's oldest and most universal cooking method, but everywhere people do it differently. So I had this idea to travel around the world writing about how people barbecue and grill in different cultures. And that book became the Barbecue Bible. It was the right book, the right time, and it's become an international bestseller. It's been translated into 17 languages. And it's very gratifying, you know, there aren't a lot of books that are still in print 25 years later. So
that's been
very gratifying
and
for me.
You also have a TV show too, right?
Well, I have many TV shows. I actually have a new series that starts airing Memorial Day weekend. It's called Planet Barbecue, and it will be on public television. And that follows my shows Project Fire and Project Smoke. So, and, you know, it's interesting because most of the recipes in Planet Barbecue actually come from the Barbecue Bible. So, you know, tune in, get the book to read the recipes and have them watch the show to learn how I do it.
I love that whole line of how that is. Now, let me ask you, what's your thought between barbecue and smoking? And I think you've been on my show before, so welcome back.
Well, thank you. I think I have too. I'm glad you asked that question. Because they're very different processes. So grilling is cooking small, tender pieces of food directly over a hot fire. It's what you do for a steak or a burger, chicken breast, etc. True barbecue is cooked indirect, low and slow. That means it's next to, not directly over the fire. The temperature is much lower. The cooking times can last half a day or more. And the kinds of foods that you, and there's always wood smoke involved with true barbecue. So the kinds of foods you true barbecue, Texas-style brisket, North Carolina-style pork shoulder, Kansas City-style ribs, that is true barbecue. Now, what's interesting about smoking is that all barbecue is smoked, but not all smoked foods are barbecue. I mean, think about that smoked salmon you have on a bagel on Sunday morning. That is a smoked food, but it's not a barbecued food.
Wow, that just puts it in line right there. I love that. Okay, so give us what's one of your favorite recipes that we're going to find in the Barbecue Bible?
I'm going to give you two, if that's okay. The first is a super simple appetizer from Spain. It's called Catalan grilled tomato bread. And what you do is grill slices of fresh baguette, French bread. Use your grill as a toaster. And you serve that hot off the grill. You give each guest a clove of garlic and a half tomato. And they instruct them to rub the garlic and tomato into this hot, smoky bread. Then you give a drizzle of extra virgin olive oil, a sprinkle of salt and pepper. And I want to tell you, it is the most explosively flavorful appetizer you'll ever taste. And what's really cool about it is it gets everybody involved right away. The second recipe I want to tell you about.
Wow, I love that.
It's really good. This is a steak, and it's a steak recipe I found in Mexico. And, you know, I was going around with a local guide who took me to all the usual tourist traps that were awful. And then I asked my taxi driver, where do you go, you know, to eat barbecue? And he took me to this little shack with a big stack of mesquite wood outside. They were grilling steak over a mesquite fire and serving it with a chile de árbol salsa, really fiery salsa. Again, super simple because, you know, many of the recipes in Barbecue Bible are super simple, but flavorful like you wouldn't believe. So those are two classics.
That's beautiful. Okay, Stephen, I want to ask you, so what did you do before you did barbecuing?
Well, this is funny. I've got the most unlikely background for a barbecue author that you could imagine. I actually have a degree in French literature. And I was on my way to graduate school to become a college professor. And I won this crazy fellowship to study medieval cooking in Europe. And that kind of got me cooked on the intersection of food and history and culture. And I've been writing about food now for a long time. I was a restaurant critic for Boston Magazine. I was the wine and spirits editor for GQ Magazine. Always been fascinated by food and drink. And, the barbecue, just I happened upon it by accident, but it was a very good wrong turn.
Wow, I love wrong turns like that. I love it. You also have, join your club, right? I mean, talk to us about that. I mean, people...
the Barbecue Bible 500 Club. Oh, I'm so glad you asked about that. So this was started by a couple, American expatriates who live in Spain, and during their COVID lockdown project was to cook every recipe in the Barbecue Bible, which they did. And it was so much fun that they actually started a club. It's a Facebook club. And if you go on Facebook, Barbecue Bible 500 Club. So it's a group of people around the world who have undertaken to cook every recipe in Barbecue Bible. They post photos. There are various prizes for different levels. If you cook 100 recipes, you get one prize. If you cook another 100 recipes, you get another prize. And it just shows how barbecue brings the whole world together.
No, I love that. And you know what? I mean, really, if you have a party or anything, what is the one thing that everybody gather around? I mean, it's funny. Even the homes have taken down their walls so everybody can be a part of the kitchen or part of the grilling, right? And so it really brings people to that. So
yeah, everybody
I love
gathers
that.
Around the grill. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, you boil a pot of soup. You bake a loaf of bread, nobody's standing around your stove watching. You light a grill, and it's an instant party.
Yeah. Talk to us really quick because we have a minute left here. Vegetables, okay? Because that's something that is it a technique, an art, or is it something that everybody can do that's pretty simple?
It's very simple, but you have to realize that you grill different vegetables differently. So high water content, high moisture content vegetables like mushrooms, peppers, asparagus, corn, you grill over a high heat. More dense vegetables like cauliflower, broccoli, you grill over a lower heat. But every vegetable can be grilled. In fact, my last book was a book called How to Grill Vegetables.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it right now. There you go. Yeah. And so let me ask you, do you put anything on them? What's your go-to?
Well, extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper, and lemon juice are, I would say those are the classics, unless you're grilling the vegetable in an Asian style. And in that case, you might use sesame oil and soy sauce. Or if you want to work in a more Indian mode, you might use yogurt and spices. So, it's not, there's no one size fits all seasoning, but there are many seasonings that are delicious.
I love it. And again, how do my listeners find out more about you? And also, how do they get your newest book?
Absolutely. So my website is barbecuebible.com. How convenient, right? Barbecue Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's all spelled out. And when you go to the website, you can sign up for my Up and Smoke newsletter, which comes out biweekly. Lots of great tips. If you're a public television fan, look for my new show, which is called Planet Barbecue. It will be launching on Memorial Day. And as far as Barbecue Bible, the book, Amazon.com or your local independent bookstore or any bookstore, really.
I love it. Again, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please download our podcast so you can hear your interview and also share our show with everyone. And I'd love to have you back because I love cooking and barbecue.
Okay. You're on.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Come to the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival June 3rd, Thousand Oaks, to celebrate great music with family and friends. Top country entertainers Craig Morgan, Chase Beckham, and Cam will be there, along with lots of tasty food and beverages and over 75 vendors. Plus, sample hot sauces from around the world. Festival proceeds help military veterans and local first responders. See you June 3rd at the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival in Thousand Oaks. Buy your tickets at wildoakscmf.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Our listeners that are just waking up, starting their day in a positive way, we've got Sharon Palmer here. She has her newest book, and I have it right in front of me. I'm, like, inspired by it. And, of course, the plant-powered plan to beat diabetes, but and a guide for prevention and management. But, Sharon, I'm really excited to even ask you this. It's not even just for diabetes. It's really like for everything, isn't it?
Absolutely, Kim. This kind of diet is good for our whole bodies. It's good to help prevent diabetes from happening in the first place, but it also can help you manage diabetes if you have it. It can prevent heart disease, kidney disease. It can help you keep your eyes and nerves healthier, even help your brain stay healthier.
I love that. I love that. And is this your first book?
No, this is actually my fourth book. I've written three other books on plant-based eating, but this is my first book on how plant-based eating can help for diabetes.
You're actually close to us. You're in Ojai. What a beautiful little place to plant your life, right?
Exactly. I moved here 3 years ago. I used to live in Pasadena, and now I'm just loving living up here close to where we can grow food and enjoy this beautiful lifestyle.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd love to get you in the studio too. So talk to us about, you know, really, there's so many questions that I have, but first of all, these are 100 vegan recipes. For our listeners, can you just share what's the difference between vegan and vegetarian?
Yes, well, a vegan diet would be absolutely no animal food. So that includes no animal flesh, no meat, poultry, fish, but also no dairy products or eggs. So it's 100% based on plants, whereas a vegetarian diet generally allows for no animal flesh, but it allows for eggs and dairy products.
Okay, and so what is, besides not eating anything that has to do with any kind of animal, what is the difference, vegan to vegetarian? Is it such a huge health difference?
Well, there are benefits for all kinds of plant-based diets. However, when we look at diabetes in particular, vegans have the lowest rate of diabetes. For example, one big study from Loma Linda found that vegans had a 77% lower chance of getting diabetes. Vegetarians had a 54% lower chance. So it just shows that all
these
plant-based diets
are good.
It
that, yeah, mm-hmm. So it bumped it that tiny bit more, right? I mean,
yeah,
for sure. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense right there. And so talk to us about what type of plant-based diets are, you know, is there several different kinds?
Yeah, there's all different types of plant-based diets. If you think of vegan as being 100% plant-based all the way to vegetarian, which we just talked about, and you can even have like a pescatarian diet, which is you can have a vegan diet with fish, even a flexitarian diet where you're trying to eat vegan most of the time. Those are all diet patterns with benefits. But the important thing that we're learning now is it's not just eating plants, it's the quality. Are you eating whole plant foods versus, you know, refined things, because after all, soda and chips and cookies could be vegan. So the benefit comes from these whole plant foods like beans and whole grains and vegetables.
Okay, and then let's even break that down even further. What about, organic versus just walking into the store and buying vegetables? Is there a difference there? What's your thought on that?
Yes, I'm an advocate of organic produce because it's better for the our growing systems, better for the soil, it's better for the planet. I am an advocate for trying to prioritize organic, produce in particular. However, I'm very mindful that it's more expensive and it may not fit into everybody's budget. But, if it is something that you can prioritize, I think it's better for our agricultural system. It's better for our environment.
Okay. I love that. And so what does a day of eating plant-based, if anybody, our listeners that are maybe fighting diabetes or preventing it, really, it's such a big thing now that prevention is probably the biggest thing as opposed to management. What does a day like look like that eating vegan and, plant-based?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with what you're saying, because it's really, we want to prevent it from happening, diabetes from happening, because so many of us are at risk of diabetes. So, this eating style is very powerful and it can also be so delicious and vibrant. For example, you could start your day with like a sweet potato breakfast hash with grapefruit on the side. You could have for lunch, like an open-faced whole grain sandwich with vegan tempeh bacon, with lettuce and tomatoes and avocados. For dinner, you could have something like a sauteed vegetable fajita with beans and corn tortillas. And you can even have snacks such as fruit and soy yogurt is one of my favorites.
And what was the yogurt? What kind?
Like a soy yogurt or just a plant-based yogurt?
Oh, a soy. Got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so wow, you just opened up a lot of doors for people to, figure out. Let me ask you, and of course I have your book in front of me, what are we going to find in your book and what information do you provide for our readers and listeners?
Well, I like to give, the why at the beginning of my book so that you can understand why these diets are so powerful. These plant-based diets are filled with the nutrients that help protect the body from disease, to fight inflammation, and to keep your weight healthy too. And so then I move into like, how do you get going? How do you start eating a more plant-based diet? What do you buy in the supermarket? I have shopping lists and also little action steps with each chapter to help you kind of move more to this healthy diet, and even like how to build a plate that would be a diabetes fighting plate, as well as all the recipes.
I love it. I love that. And of course, Sharon, you are a dietitian, correct?
I am. I'm a registered dietitian.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that?
I graduated from Loma Linda University like 3 decades ago. And that school is kind of famous for being a blue zone. It's in California as well. And really focus on plant-based nutrition there. So I've worked in all sorts of settings, helping people live longer, healthier lives, stay free from disease. And one of the exciting things about the new research on plant-based diets for diabetes is people are even getting off their medications, within a month. Some studies are showing that this kind of lifestyle is that powerful.
That is so amazing. I mean, it's amazing that, we always say, the saying goes, you are what you eat, right? And when you change from those, the fatty meats and all that to plant-based, it's really what you can see the transformation in your body, correct?
Absolutely. You can see, if you're, fighting diabetes, you can see better glucose control, better weight. That's one of the benefits. People have a healthier weight and they also get healthier heart impacts. Like, for example, your cholesterol goes down, your blood pressure goes down. So it's good for your whole body and it can help prevent some of these diseases that often come along with diabetes, like heart disease or even eye damage, nerve damage. It can all be helped with this kind of eating style.
That's crazy. Well, Sharon, I'm excited. Give us one simple recipe out of your book, and where do we find your book?
Yes, you can find my book at most online bookstores and bookshops, and you can also learn more about how to find it on my website at SharonPalmer.com, where you'll also find my blog, where I provide a lot of free information on how you can live a healthy lifestyle, and also on my social media at SharonPalmerRD. But I have so many favorite recipes in the book, but I love to share my Spanish style vegetable paella, which I learned how to make when I was on a culinary tour in Spain. But that is one of my favorite recipes because it's about like eating together. You could even cook it together, and it's like a one dish meal. It's beautiful and colorful and flavorful. So I love to share that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Again, I would love to get you in the studio. I'd love to, you know, meet you. Let's follow each other on our social. And I love what you do, and I'd love to bring you back for some of your other books. Yeah. Okay, great. Sharon Palmer, thank you so much for being part of the Brighter Side of Life here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.
You too.
All right. What a great show and some great guests. And again, if you love any of their books, I hope that you reach out to them and that you get some of these great books. And, of course, it's all about eating healthy. And, of course, I do want to remind you, either text us or call us. We would love to get tickets out to you. It's the last weekend before it happens. And, of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. You are the only one that can turn your day around. Go have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you next week. It might seem-